Well, as we told you in the big lead, there are now some ominous signs that Governor Jay Inslee is considering stretching the vaccine mandate to private industry, which, of course, would be unprecedented. One of the people sounding the alarm on this is Senator Mark Schessler. He joins us. Senator, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Nice to be back with you, Dory.
I understand you came off the farm just to have a conversation with me today. I appreciate that.
I couldn't think of anything I'd rather do.
Okay, got it. So you are sounding the alarm about the governor and some groundwork they seem to be laying for spreading this vaccine mandate to the private sector. Tell me about that.
Well, I was alerted to it by colleagues from the House, and the timeline was essentially non-existent to do anything. And I consulted with legal counsel in the House, and the problem is it is so open-ended, it could reach almost anywhere. And that broad grant of authority with over 600 days of emergency orders should scare us.
Well, and so are these new rules that L&I and the state are putting in place?
Well, it allows the governor to make those changes at a whim, and it doesn't limit it to just the federal guidelines. We know that if the feds say 100, it means 100, and sort of like federal minimum wage. You can't go below it, that standard.
Sure.
But this was so open-ended that legal counsel said, hey, this could come down to the mom-and-pop employer.
Well, this is what scares me so much and what I've been trying to convey to my listeners for a long, long time, Senator, and that is that this emergency order that Jay Inslee has declared, and I think we all thought that an emergency order was if there was an earthquake or a terror attack, and be something that would be in place for a couple of weeks, maybe a month. But now, as you said, we're coming up on almost 2 years in just a few months here. And it gives the governor extra constitutional authority, doesn't it? I mean, that's what I think is so frightening about all of this.
Well, that is. I think, you know, the first 30 or 60 days of the COVID epidemic, we all understood that you had to have the ability to try and halt it.
Sure.
This became permanent, and I don't think the people that wrote our state constitution ever envisioned a governor having permanent authority, nor did the legislators or voters who have expanded into the past.
And that permanent authority does include orders by the governor under this emergency power that would not necessarily comply with our Constitution, right?
Well, that's how I see it. I think there's broad sweeping powers in the name of public health that should frighten any civil libertarian.
Well, or just any American, any Washingtonian, if you're not a little frightened by this. So what's going on with the governor from your perspective? Because he seems to me, and I'm just going to get into the, you know, truth of what I've said earlier on the show, he seems to have changed dramatically. It seems like this, you know, it's what Kissinger said, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It seems like this power has become almost a drug for the governor.
Well, Henry Kissinger also said it was the ultimate aphrodisiac.
That's very true. That's right. So, I mean,
but this is sweeping that no one envisioned. He has said on TVW that only he can save the state.
Right.
And it is an attitude change. It's really sad that the majority has not figured out when enough is enough.
Well, and it's really sad to me that other than shows like mine and a couple of others, that more in the media are not sounding the alarm, because the reason we have a First Amendment is to be a watchdog of government. But it seems like so many of the media outlets in our state are just a lapdog of government and not even talking about the implication this has on our freedom and our sovereignty.
Well, I think one of the problems we see in the press today is that, for example, in the Spokane market, there is no local talk. It's all national shows that are canned. If we look at the consolidation and downsizing of newspapers, even more so, that there used to be, you know, different viewpoints and different sources of information. it's changed very dramatically during my career.
Well, yeah, and with that, government has an easier path to running roughshod over us. Hey, there was one other issue you brought up this week that I wanted to talk to you about. We've seen thousands of state employees get fired now because they did not comply to the vaccine mandate. And exempt from that are criminals, prison inmates who work for whatever meager salary they get, but they work in the prison, and they are not subject to the same mandate that's gotten thousands of people on the outside who have not broken laws. They're not subject to the same restrictions?
No, that's one of the things that has infuriated me. I've had prisons in my district for 29 years. I've worked with corrections officers and understand the system fairly well, I think. And early in the epidemic, the inmate families screamed for early release, early access to vaccination. At this time, they are lower than the general public. But the dedicated men and women that work there are mandated. Now, there's something inherently unfair. I used to also represent Eastern State Hospital. Same thing with patients undergoing mental health treatments. They have no mandate, but the staff does. Now, there's something inherently wrong with that system. And not being willing to go to the lengths that this governor has in other areas is one of the hypocrisies of the whole plan.
Well, what would be, I mean, this is just crazy that our corrections officers are subject to a mandate, but the criminals who work in the prison and are working for the state, just like everybody else in that capacity, that they are not. What in the world could be a possible reason, an explanation for this?
Well, maybe it's one of Governor Inslee's more important constituencies.
Jeez. Oh,
but it really doesn't. From a public health standpoint, when you put a lot of people in close confines, 24/7, 365 days a year, there is grave risk of transmission. I don't think that the visitors have to be vaccinated or tested. So if visiting day comes, no problem. But if you are the staff, there is a problem.
So if I want to go to a restaurant, I got to show proof of vax, but somebody going in to visit their murderer uncle, they don't.
Absolutely right.
That's just insane.
And if you go to, you know, if you go to a indoor event with thousands of people, same thing. But those institutions oftentimes have 1,000, 2,000 or more people.
Sure.
And they have a different playing field. Now, it may be difficult for him to do it, but I would think that the same protection, the same mandates should be extended to all.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just would make sense. If they're working in the prison, they are working for the state. And why not subject them to the same restrictions?
Yeah. In the last report I saw, Dory, their rate was lower than the general public.
Amazing.
And obviously, you know, close confinement.
Senator, I appreciate you fighting the good fight. It sometimes feels like you're trying to hold the ocean back with a broom, I would imagine.
We've had those days over the years.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's good talk with you. I appreciate you taking the time with me this afternoon.
Great to be back with you and your listeners.
All right, thank you. Senator Mark Schessler, one of the good ones, looking out for us down there in Olympia.